Yeah, moving on, last thought about failure. I think there's a huge misunderstanding about failures. First of all, failures, are commonly taken as some like shameless thing we have to avoid, like, oh, we cannot fail because everyone will look at us, or like failure is not a good thing. I think it's like it all began since school, our education system, because if you fail the test, you're not good. If you fail a few more times in a row, you're gonna repeat the whole year. Like, you're gonna repeat the whole year as if repeating the whole year will help, right? So if you failed it, just repeat one more year, like keep doing it until like your brain like freaking gets it. So I think failure, like, this creates such scary or like tensions like moments for us or the young generations about like failures.
Yeah, and to touch on that when you can fail an entire year, you can't fail safely. Like, you can't fa fail fast. You can't say, okay, I failed this week, because then that week is already done and you have to learn something new the next week. And then if you fail to pass, let's say you have to pass more than 70% of the material to go to the next grade. Then you constantly have to make sure that you're passing everything above a certain level, instead of saying, okay, I was hugely successful in this, but I had to downprioritize the other things. So even if I could become an expert in this area, the school says, still says, you're too dumb, you have to do it again.
Yeah, and honestly, in reality, or like, back in to our lives, me as like startup founders or like other stuff scientists, and I think when you fail, nobody sees it, like we are our only audience before we get really famous or really successful. Like, your parents wouldn't mind, honestly, your boyfriend, girlfriend's there seeing, like, nobody's gonna take it as serious or as big as you do. Like, you'll be like, let's say for me, like my personal case, maybe I'm going to do some research projects, in some top universities. During the interviews or before interviews, I'll be like also worried about, oh, what if I didn't make it? Is that a failure? Stuff like that, just adding more weight on the shoulder. Or like, I had this like startup ideas. I want to do this project, right? New product line. What if nobody buys it, right? I made this Instagram post trying to post it. What if nobody likes it? Is it like a failure and stuff? So, and these thoughts, I think, are kind of useless. They just, I mean, their only purpose or like their only usefulness is to slow you down and make you like purposeless. To make you, not walking forward, I think. So I yeah, like throughout my life, since ever since I started, my own business, becoming an entrepreneur, I don't see failure as something very shameful. And yeah, honestly, I just feel, and I feel like this is part of a necessary process, like a step.
Yeah, I think actually our current society hopefully can or already solves the problem of feeling shame about failing. Because if you live in a small tribe, say there's 100 or 200 people, if you fail, basically everyone in that tribe will know that you failed. And if that's your entire social network, then it could put you in a bad situation, because then no one would work with you, saying the worst case that you fail so bad that everyone says, okay, you.
Avoiding you.
But in the world that we live in now, your and my network has a very little overlap. So even if you fail to our shared network, you have a large other network that you can still affect. So if you actually make sure that you have a spread out network, then you can basically avoid caring about failures at all, because you only failed in one area. It's not like your entire network just push you out because, yeah, maybe only two or three people knew that you actually failed anything in that. So that actually helps with our shame, which is very centered in the human condition, or for humans, that's one of the worst things we can feel.
And, you know, yeah, it's a different world. Like, the two scenarios you just mentioned made me think of, like, let's say we live in a village and there's a boy with six fingers on one hand. Oh, that's like a mutation, right? Oh, six fingers on a hand. Bad news spreads super quickly. Everybody in the village knows it. But I mean, that's like genetic, right? That's like evolutionary. That's like the pressure of the best feet in the village, in the tribe. But failures nowadays is more like scenario two. As in, this kind of failure is more like happens on the way when you, during your pursuit, right? You are trying to create something out of thin air, or you are trying to bring ideas to life. And you, of course, you have to fail. Like, maybe there's like, I don't know, 1% of a chance that you wouldn't face any failures and it's like smooth as hell, like the road from creating and bringing an idea into life, right? But most of the time, it's not the case. And I think that this second scenario of treating, like looking at failure differently, and honestly as a stepping stone, will help. Because I forgot what app was that, but I think in like 2015-16 there's some kind of short videos, but like educational videos app, and then I subscribed for them for a year. In the second or third year, they send out an email saying like, sorry guys, we tried everything, not like, you know, didn't meet our expectation, maybe it's wrong timing or something is wrong, blah blah. And the CEO sent in the email said like, but we'll do something next year, but we have to close this app. And if you want to know more about what we learned from this failure or like this experience, check out my LinkedIn post. And then, you know, we talk about, oh, 10 lessons I learned, you know. And so this failure, he treated it as a stepping stone, right? Like, now it's time for me to spread, like, what doesn't work? I mean, just look at the process of, I don't know, inventing the airplane. Of course, like, sorry to say that, but there are people, pilots, that actually sacrifice for that, right? So we as humanities, you and me, we are just, you know, a tiny piece of the whole puzzle, and the whole humanity just moves forward. And if we are inventing, we're trying to bring this idea of airplane into life, we have pilots actually sacrificing their life. But in the context of entrepreneurship or tech, we have people sacrificing their money, their time, right, their efforts, because they're trying to bring this idea of, let's say, ChatGPT into life. And of course, it's shipped. So yeah, original like version is cool, nice. But don't forget, there are like millions of hours, money spent on bringing ChatGPT into life for the past 10 years.
Yeah. Then I think it's when you said that we humans are the puzzle piece in the puzzle to solve a problem. I initially thought you were going to see a break in the wall, but I like the difference between the two, because if you're just a break in the wall, everyone else can replace you and you don't see you again.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I failed in this place was because the breaks around me were fine, but I wasn't good enough to fit in the mall. But if you're a puzzle piece, you may actually identify what was the other puzzle pieces that was missing to create this puzzle. Then you may say, okay, we identified that this is actually a critical puzzle piece that's missing in the puzzle, and then you can shift into that because you know the user's needs now, and you identified the problems that needs to be solved, so you can actually move to another place where you're already not an expert, but you have a lot of insight to what actually needs to be solved. As you brought up with some were born with six fingers on one hand due to mutations. If you're trying to fit into the wall you need five fingers to fit into the wall, then you're not going to fit. But as we've seen with evolution, those who actually survive are those that mutate, because if you constantly, if everyone was only optimized for that specific area, as soon as that area changes, then they will probably all be wiped out. And back to the living in a smaller village or a tribe, maybe no one sees the value of you having six fingers, because there's nothing for you to do with those six fingers. But maybe you could use that to play music in a way that no one else could, because normally have five fingers, but now you suddenly have one extra, so you could play chords that are very difficult for others or even impossible. But that's just because you're what can also be called the surface of luck, that the bigger surface you have for luck to emerge, the more you will run into luck. So if you constantly say, okay, I need to fit into this wall, but I don't fit that, then I'm just a failure and I need to adapt to the situation, instead of trying to figure out, okay, what situation am I perfect for with this? Then you may even have people that have a, I don't know if it's a much larger mutation sequence or if it's just a different mutation sequence, that have eight fingers, something like that, where they would say, okay, I can never fit into this. Maybe they have two thumbs. But one of the most important developments in biology was the opposing thumb. So suddenly you could hold onto tools. If you have a dog, they can't hold onto a hammer. But that's trivial for us because we have the opposing thumb, so we can grab around tools. Initially, that would have been seen as, okay, why do you have a thumb? That's terrible for when you're walking on the ground and you don't need any tools. But suddenly when you had that, then you can grab around things, you can climb up trees easily, you can begin shaping tools, if you just want to be part of the pack of wolves, if you run slower, then you're not useful to the tribe there. But imagine if you had a dog that actually had opposing thumbs, so it wouldn't only be good at running, but maybe a bit slower at running, but it could actually bring you tools, not just what it can carry in its mouth, but of course it, as long as it's walking on all four, it would be more difficult for it, but it could do other tasks. Dogs are one of the most specialized species, if not the most specialized species, because we humans have bred them to be specialized. If you look at humans, you don't have that same variation in the public, so we actually the way society functions now, we are basically all being made into bricks, instead of saying we're made into puzzle pieces.
That's so true. Yeah, absolutely. And this is why all this self-help, productivity, that, you know, the great Western disease they talk about, is so prominent, and it's so, as if we are so prone to, you know, taking unproductive days as failing days. Like today, I take off zero tasks, so I'm a piece of crap. I'm such a failure. Productive failure, right? And I think that's what we are so vulnerable right now when we look at unproductive days. But unproductive days are actually, you know, in another scope, is where your brain is just taking its time to work on and creating new ideas that could launch you much faster. Just like wheels, who would invent the wheels if everyone is busy walking fast? Okay. Right? Like, there should be some people that they don't follow the crowd and they're not walking, they're just sitting and they're just like, yeah, how like could we walk faster than our given limbs, our two legs, right? These are like original thinkers, OG thinkers and creative OGs that I paid most respect to. So I think most of the people that took like failures as something they are trying to avoid are not going to create anything. And we need people, at least we need some amount of people that don't just, you know, follow the crowd and do what is told and avoid failure. We need people that at least 10% to 20% of the population to be encouraged and to love failing and to love bringing ideas into life. This is the most important thing. If everyone in this like entire human race is busy working, busy walking, busy running, we could not stop and like invent cars and then better cars, more efficient cars, you know, electric cars. We won't, like it won't happen. Like don't even mention rockets. Why are we flying? Like everyone is busy walking, right? how could we have ships, you know? And all the other tools.
Yeah, and to add to that, basically everyone in school has to, everyone in school has to write reports that needs to be handed in, and often it's a quite short time frame. So if you didn't have the printing press already, you wouldn't actually have the time to develop the printing press, even if you had the idea in your mind, you had all of the workings that needs to be done, but you couldn't print the paper before you had to hand it in. Then even if you could create a revolution in spreading information, you would fail, and then you only have a certain time allotted again. So even the next or when you have to repeat the pass the exam, you wouldn't be able to use that time already, because unless you say, okay, I'm willing to fail this 10 times, but the school won't allow you to, but you needed that time to solve the problem.
Very true. Yeah. And so the next question about failure, if we all agree that we should fail, then it should be like fail fast, just like what the Silicon Valley is saying. We have to fail fast, because if we don't fail, no ideas are going to come to life. So now it's not like, you know, the great Western disease, as in now we have to do like execute checking off tasks, but to checking off failures. Everyone has to like take it this way, at least like failures is a good thing and it's part of the experimentation. And yeah, this is just a good spirit to have, to encourage failure as well as to make failures a thing that we're actually trying to embrace and to have more, right? Because otherwise the whole like progress is stopped. There's no new inventions, no new tools, and then we are stuck in a void.
Say if you design the wheel incorrectly at first, and then you think I have to make the perfect wheel in the first go, then you would never develop the wheel, because I think a wheel is just a circle, how difficult can it be? But if you're riding on a muddy track, you need much wider wheels, which may in other conditions be slower than walking. So it wouldn't be worth it to have those wide wheels in that conditions, but having to go through that mud yourself would be much more exhausting than having the correct wheel. And I think many end up, and I've seen myself as well, end up in trying to solve everything at once. like I can see all of the problems that needs to be solved, and I can think of a lot of solutions that solve those things. But if I try to solve everything at once, then I can't solve any of the problems well. Instead of just saying, okay, now I can solve this part of the problem, now I can solve this part of the problem. And if you allow yourself to fail with the different stuff quickly, say, okay, I tried this out, this didn't work. That can work fine if you say it's just the width of the wheel. But if you spend all of your time designing the perfect wheel and you fail, then you won't say, okay, maybe I should try a different type or just make some sure all adjustments to the wheel. Then you figure that, okay, the wheel didn't work. Because you you saw it as a an entire product that needs to be all need to succeed.
That's very true. And I think you also like said it right, not to try to achieve everything in one shot. That goes to like same thing to overnight success. Many like new entrepreneurs, young, ambitious people that I talk to, they wanted to be like successful in the first launch overnight in a short time. I think this is still like the great, you know, Western disease, as in you just want to avoid failure. Why would you want to be like successful overnight? Why would you want to, you know, succeed, like make a crazy hot product just in the first launch? You shouldn't do it. Like, you should approach it as experimentation. You want to know the most, right? You just want to know as much as you can in the first launch. You should not care about succeeding or failing. Like, you shouldn't be result oriented. You should be more experiment centered.
Yeah.
By treating it as, you know, it's just part of the learning experience.
Yeah. I think if you in that situation, if you focus more on, if you focus on the goal of learning instead of saying the goal of succeeding, because you can learn just as much, if not more, from failing. Because if you succeed, you may not know why you succeeded. If you failed, you may not always know why you failed, but if you investigate, you will quite often figure out why you failed, and then you can avoid that in the future. If you succeeded, you don't know how you could have failed, so you may just fail later on. If you failed enough times, then you basically, like, if you walked around in an area and you can't see where there's muddy areas and where there's solid areas to walk on. If you walk on solid area, then you are just lucky that you are not walking into the other areas. If you just if you keep walking at the edge of the mud, then you can easily trace where the mud is.
So
if you stay close to failure and make sure you know why you fail, then you will probably draw the map of where success lies. Of course, that won't always happen, but I think you increase your chances of doing that.
Well, this is the thing I really hope like everybody will embrace, is to not just not think in the way of results, but the journey, because it applies in life as well. Not just new projects or entrepreneurship, it's just life as well. Because if you think it in terms of results, you want to get there, live in New York City, or make, I don't know, make a million, 2 million, that's result oriented. What if you don't make it? You're gonna kill yourself, like, you're gonna be meaningless. Like, that's just very, it's like very toxic thoughts. You should try to be, you know, take failures as part of a learning opportunity. If you couldn't make 2 million this year, then you still got next year. Still, this learning experience is more about the why, right? We talk about the trinity, the aspiration, like, why are you doing that? Okay, you got that clear. What is the ambitious, right? Ambitions here, and what you're trying to achieve, and also like the daily life. So that just goes this, like, to this three trinity, you know, about a happy life or meaningful life. It's just so true that we just need it. We just need to, you know, not overweighting every single bit, and to enjoy the ride.
I think as well the goal of earning a specific amount of money, or just earning a lot of money, is basically trying to have an overnight success as well. Like,
true,
your first goal should be to make money, and maybe even to say, okay, if I have money, how should I spend them, and how should I make sure that I keep making money? Because if you just say, I want to have $2 million, you may end up having $2 million, but if you don't know what you're going to spend it afterwards, you may just waste it away. You would also see yourself as failing if you only make $1 million. If you set that as a hard goal and you say, okay, I can't make a lot of money, so I should try to do something else, you already succeeded in making $1 million. And if you mature to see, okay, if I already have money, how can I make more money, then you should be able to reach the $2 million. Maybe it's later, you'll reach it, but you set yourself up on the path to get there. And I think way too many give up on their goals too early because they feel like, okay, I didn't reach the goal in time, so I'm following another goal, instead of saying, have I actually make progress to solve that goal? And if I draw a trajectory, looking into the future of, if I keep doing this, will I actually end up at my goal at some point in time? Then you should be, of course it shouldn't be that you reach this goal too late. Either you're not living anymore, or it's not enough money in that time, so you should change a total different strategy. Maybe you should move to a place where you don't need as much money.
That's so true. Thank you for listening to my podcast. If you like my content, please follow me on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and subscribe to this podcast. I will see you next week.